This is Gaza Corner, featuring news and analysis from the Middle East and beyond that's often ignored by the mainstream media. The views and opinions expressed on Gaza Corner are those of me, Dori Stein, and the guests who appear, and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of KALW Public Media. Our guest on Gaza Corner is Palestinian journalist Abir Ayoub. She's from Gaza, based in Toronto. Welcome, Abir. Thanks for accommodating Gaza Corner.
Thank you for having me.
You took the lead at unearthing the story behind the shadowy Israeli-linked organization that arranged flights that took several hundred Palestinians from Gaza to other countries, most notably South Africa. Can you share with us what you found out?
Okay, so in May, which was before the ceasefire, I got a text message from a friend of mine. She told me, Abir, my relative traveled to Indonesia yesterday, and he refused to tell us how he went. He went with his three children and his wife. I asked, are you sure he's not injured or he's not going to resume his studies? She said, I'm sure. And he was not the only one. Since that very moment, I knew there was a story, because in the background, we have been hearing about the voluntary immigration body, which is an Israeli initiative that started after the war, after the statements made by American President Donald Trump about such initiative, like to get people out of Gaza. So I knew there was a story, and then I tried to reach one of the families that made it to Indonesia or Malaysia and South Africa, like three countries, and they were very skeptical, like they didn't want to say how they left. Little by little, I managed to talk to one of the guys, and he said that he applied through a link, and then a few months later, he got a message from an Israeli WhatsApp number that told him to go to Deir el-Balah. There was a station where they waited a bus. And when he got into the bus, he was surprised that he was not the only one. He found some other families in the bus, and they all of them told him they applied through the same link that they found by accident. And he refused to give me the link. It was this secretive at the beginning. Little by little, he trusted me and he gave me the link. Once I opened the link, I knew it's not a real organization, because AI is the key thing at the website. Also, pictures of the employees was made by AI. So I could know it's not a real thing, but I couldn't know what is it. Okay, I know it's not a German organization based in Sheikh Jarrah in Jerusalem, as it claims.
And you should say the name.
Al-Majd Europe. So I knew that Al-Majd is not a German organization that was founded in 2010, as they claim, but I didn't know who they are. How I knew it's not German. I looked up the German registry for organizations. I couldn't find it. They said they established the organization May 2010, and their website was very fresh. But I got to know the whole story when I looked at the names of the organizations they claimed they work with. Three of them were UN organizations, and the fourth was an Estonian company called Talent Globus OU. When I searched Talent Globus OU, I found out it was founded by an Israeli Estonian guy.
Tomer Janar Lind is his name.
This is the only real character that I can see behind. It's an organization that partners with Al-Majd to collect the donations.
Why do you call it donations?
Because they ask for donations on their website. They do fundraising. Help Gazans, donate for us, buy crypto. They say this on the website.
To be clear, the people who've gone on, I only know of three flights so far.
Yes.
But they have to pay the money up front, right?
For the second and the third. The first one was free because I assume it was a pilot. The first one was a
Right.
free flight that got only 57 Palestinians from Gaza. And then the second, people had to pay $1,500. And then the third, $2,700. And now, for the upcoming flight, they are asking $4,000 per person.
The organization entirely suspect, not registered in Germany, not registered in occupied East Jerusalem. You can't call it. The phone number doesn't work. The links on the website don't work. On the one hand, someone listening might say, that's wonderful. Who cares how they're doing it? They're getting people out of Gaza. On the other hand, we know in the beginning of 2025, Trump was fixated on the Riviera of the Middle East in Gaza and emptying all Palestinians from Gaza. And still to this day, Israel's government, led by Benjamin Netanyahu, Bezalel Smotrich, and Itamar Ben-Gvir, and the majority of the Israeli Jewish population, according to polls, want Palestinians to be emptied from all of historic Palestine. So you can look at it as a form of ethnic cleansing. Israel's doing every which way it can and trying to cover its tracks, doing this through a third party that's not directly accountable to Israel. But also, the Gazans are going apparently voluntarily, no?
This is the dilemma. There is no open border for people to leave if they want to leave. And we know that there are families who got visas to Europe, but they cannot leave. We have patients who cannot leave. We have students who wanted to go and resume their studies. So when there is no regular border open, people would navigate the alternatives. Al-Majd was an alternative. The thing about Al-Majd is not that it lets people out. The thing about Al-Majd is that it doesn't tell people where they are going until the very last point. People at the second and the third flight knew they were flying to South Africa only in Kenya. Like they didn't know where they were going.
The third flight that was in mid-November, the one with 153 people, the ultimate destination was South Africa, but the people on the plane were kept there for 12 hours without food, without drink. What was that about?
The thing is that the second flight happened without any issues, but after people landed, they started to film themselves in South Africa, posting reels. We are out of Gaza, we are eating burgers and fries, we are going to malls. People were happy, like especially the girls, the teenagers. So South Africa knew about it, like how these people came from Gaza. So they were ready for the third flight. I mean, the second flight to South Africa, the third from Al-Majd Europe, because Al-Majd do it very quickly. Like it was only 2 weeks between the second and the third. South Africa was already anticipating the flight, and once it landed, people tell me tens of policemen got into the plane and started investigating and interrogating people, like how you arrived here, and the point that they didn't have any exit stamps on their passports made it more problematic to South Africa. Like you don't have any proof, as if you landed from the sky, like literally where you came from.
So they eventually were let in, and a nonprofit organization, a Gift of the Givers, I think is the name of the organization, accommodated many of these people free of charge. In fact, its founder, Imtiaz Suleiman, considers El Majd, quote, Israel's front organization, unquote. And we should remind listeners that South Africa, more than any other country in the world, has had Palestinians back in terms of the International Criminal Court and bringing genocide charges against Israel. So it's a very interesting choice for a destination. It would make South Africa look very bad to not allow these people in. But still, a 90-day visa, it hasn't been 3 months yet since November, but it's been 3 months since the May flight. Have these people been forced out? They only have a 90-day visa. Do you have any update on that?
I do. So lots of these people were already considering South Africa as transit because they had other plans. I know people who left to Cairo, I know people who left to Australia. These people had visas, but they wanted to reach an airport, whatever airport in the world. South Africa had this dilemma. They wanted to make a statement that they don't want to be a part of a project to empty Gaza. This is why they stopped the flight. But at the end, for humanitarian reasons, they had to allow people in. But 2 days ago, South Africa decided to cancel the decision to let Palestinians in without visa. Like now, any Palestinian who wants to go to South Africa, they will have to apply for a visa because of this exact flight. The Ministry of Interior in South Africa said that this thing that Palestinians don't need visas was misused. And we don't want to be a part of a project to relocate Gazans. So we canceled that. And anyone who wants to come to South Africa, they would have to apply for a visa. This is because of how the organization worked. They thought maybe that they can do this and no one would notice. Like they can send people to South Africa and it's gonna go okay, but it didn't. At the same time, today, Al-Majd Europe posted on Twitter that they want to help Palestinians again to travel. And they called upon European countries to take people. So they are still resuming their mission, but it's always about the hosting country.
This interview is being pre-recorded on December 8th, and our guest is journalist from Gaza based in Toronto, Abir Ayyub. You were perhaps the first to learn the identity of the person behind the organization named Al-Majd. He's an Estonian Jew, Tomar Janet Lind. Were you able to talk to him?
No, he never responded to my messages.
But he did speak to someone because he said, "I can't talk now, but I might talk later,"
This was the only statement he made. He made it to Haaretz.
which is the Israeli newspaper. Can you go over the Israeli connection? You had mentioned that there's some connection to the Voluntary Migration Administration, which was set up in the very beginning of 2025 when Trump was threatening to depopulate Palestine. In your view, is this really an Israeli operation?
Well, I cannot say for sure, but we have three things. We have a character that's Israeli Estonian that's behind it. Also, according to his LinkedIn, he's admitting that he's evacuating Palestinians. At the very day of the South Africa flight, the last one, he posted before the crisis, "I'm very proud of the impact I'm doing." And it was about the trips happening. Second, we have a page on the website that was removed from the website but stayed at the archive. There was a declare that was made to be signed by people, and it says, "Hi, my name is X. I hereby saying that I agree to voluntarily leave Gaza." And this program is done and managed by Talent Globus OU. Talent Globus OU is a company that's owned by an Israeli Estonian guy. The third thing, we have media reports that says Kogat knew that Al-Majd was connected to the voluntary immigration body.
Explain Kogat.
Kogat, it's the body that's responsible for getting Palestinians exits from the Palestinian territories.
Israeli organization.
Yes, it is.
So Al-Majd is putting on a humanitarian face, even though charging zero and then 1,400, then 2,000, then 4,000. Who knows? In your view, if you're willing to opine, would you characterize this more as Al-Majd is a displacement agent or a blood merchant or actually trying to do something? It's really a one-person operation in his mind that is basically humanitarian.
This guy never told us why he's doing this. We are reading Al-Majd only like in the context of the voluntary immigration body. And at the same time, Al-Majd is getting people out. They are getting Israeli permits, but other people can't. Palestinians from Gaza were never allowed to fly through Ramon Airport, but Al-Majd got them to fly through an Israeli airport. So it was made easier for Gazans. But the whole story is with the guy who's behind it, who never spoke to media. He's on his LinkedIn, of course. He says that he's trying to support Palestinian lives.
He also said that it was founded by refugees of dictatorships, including those escaping Hamas rule in Gaza. A lot of lofty claims, which obviously can't be proven.
And yeah, like this is not the same thing that's written on the website. On the website, it says it was founded in Germany to help people in conflict zones. So it's not the same story.
Now, earlier you said that South Africa now will require a visa. How difficult will it be for Palestinians in Gaza to get visas to South Africa?
It's not going to be easy because South Africa did that so they can monitor who's applying. So if they have tens of people applying, they would ask them how you will make it. So the whole thing about canceling the visa-free process is to monitor how people are applying, where they are at the moment, how they will make it to South Africa. So I assure you, it's not going to be as easy as it used to be.
Actually, maybe the biggest question for Palestinians who are able to leave Gaza and whether they end up in South Africa or wherever else, what about their ability to return should they want to return?
I think they would be able to because
They would or would not?
they would because once they make it out of Gaza, it would be on the system that they left. And also the patients who left didn't have the Israeli stamps on their passports. So it's not unique that these people didn't get the stamps. Also, patients do not get the stamps. So I don't think this is the issue. I think the issue is that many people want to leave because the place is destroyed. There is no schools or hospitals or homes. So many people want to leave. So the thing is that the circumstances is encouraging people to leave.
And as we speak, Israel says that it will open the Rafah crossing. It could be any day as part of the ceasefire, so-called ceasefire agreement, but only one way, not both ways.
Yes, only one way. And Egypt rejected that, and they said they don't want to allow it only one way because this is not the plan Trump proposed. The peace plan was to open it both ways. And Egypt has the same concern. It's the concern of displacing Gazans. Also, Egypt cannot take hundreds of thousands of Gazans. It's going to be like a new challenge to deal with. So I don't expect Egypt to open the border just like that because it didn't during the war. Also, this idea is not, as Egypt announced and many Egyptian officials, they said we might open it for humanitarian cases, but not for everyone.
So, what do you put on your crystal ball, Abir? What do you think will happen in the future? Do you think that Palestinians living in Gaza will be further enabled to leave by flights, even though they're only allowed to, so far, bring like a little bag, their phone, cash, and that's it. So you're leaving your life, but you're not able to hardly take anything with you. What do you see going forward?
I want to tell you that I talked to a father who has his daughter on the third plane. And when the plane was stopped, he was trying to ask around, what do you think is going to happen? And I'm very worried about my daughter. And when I asked him, did you know who these people were before you sent your daughter by her own? She's 19. He said, I didn't know. but I wanted her to leave so she can resume her studies. So I just want you to think how desperate this man can be to send his daughter by her own. He didn't know the destination, but he wanted her to be in an airport so she can fly to Cairo because she wants to study medicine. It's as desperate.
Right.
You navigate the alternatives, and these are the alternatives. This girl, if she doesn't leave, she's not going to study because there are no universities. There is no educational system at the moment. Lots of professors and doctors were killed. The universities were destroyed. If this girl doesn't leave, and I'm giving you one example of 2 million, if she doesn't leave, she's not going to resume her studies. So imagine how this applies to everyone in Gaza.
And I don't think people realize that Gaza had one of the exemplary education systems really in the world. Palestinians living in Gaza are extremely well educated, prioritize education, had wonderful universities, all of which destroyed in the genocide.
Yeah, also schools, also preschools. I don't know lots of families who send their children to any schools now because most of the schools turn to be shelters because of the destruction. Also, until now, it's not very safe for children because it's, as you know, it's a shaky ceasefire. So in terms of education, in terms of healthcare, even in terms of movement, like if you want to move from a place to another, you can't because the roads are destroyed. So it's not really a place that you can perform normally.
Right. Well, thank you, Abir. Our guest on Gaza Corner has been Abir Ayoub. She is a Palestinian journalist from Gaza, based in Toronto, and was among the very first to uncover the mystery behind the flights coming out of Gaza and going to destinations unknown. Most of the flights ended up in South Africa. So thanks for letting us get behind the curtain and really understand as much as we can at this point as to what's going on. Obviously, at this point, still only three flights, so it's kind of slowed down. The last one was mid-November. There was one in May, one in September. Here we are, December the 8th. We'll see if they continue or what could be termed ethnic cleansing, which could be termed humanitarian work, however you want to look at it. But obviously, there's so much desperation. Indigenous people love their land. They love their land, and Palestinians love their land like no other indigenous people I know. So it takes the kind of absolute despair and destruction that this genocide has caused for Palestinians to even be willing to leave. So it's a very difficult, difficult situation to navigate.
Yeah, the next days will tell.
All right, Abir, thank you so very, very much.
Thank you.